Well, thanks everyone for coming. Usually when I give a talk, I can't say that the work is already published, but if you are interested in more of the information, we did publish this in the Journal of Environmental Quality earlier this year, and actually there's a lot more data than what I'll be able to present today. So the title's a little bit different, but it's the same work. And I also want to thank my co-authors. Dr. Humberto Blanco's here in the room, and he's our soil physicist at the University of Nebraska, and he's kind of the lead on some of these physical measurements. And then, of course, Dr. Ferguson has a position like mine, and he was responsible for one of these long-term experiments, as I was for the other one. And Dr. Driver is our soil microbiologist. Some of you may remember Dr. Dan Walters. He's deceased about 3 years, but he helped me get our sites started 25 years ago. So we kind of honor him with having him involved in this project. The issue of soil aggregation and nitrogen, there's been a lot of discussion on and off over the last few years, and I don't think this paper is going to settle any of that, but we are all concerned about soil organic carbon and sequestering it, saving it. I am more of a soil fertility specialist. I work with farmers more on their year-to-year fertilizer decisions, and we don't get too involved in the long-term impact of doing things for 25 years, but we do need to understand what's going on over the long period. So our hypothesis, or our working idea, is kind of what the textbook Soil 101 would teach us, that as we use nitrogen fertilizer in corn, and this is Midwest Nebraska, we will increase corn growth. The increased corn growth will increase the residue. Then putting that residue back into the soil should improve soil organic carbon, which would improve aggregate stability. And then we'd have a number of implications to the environment for which the root grows. Now, there's also the alternative hypothesis where putting all that nitrogen on may not do actually increase soil organic carbon, and then maybe there wouldn't be increase in stable aggregates, since that extra N would speed up oxidation. Some have proposed the ammonia might actually dissolve some of that corn residue. So, it's a balancing act that, depending on what process is dominant, might move it one way or the other. But we were going to operate and see if we can document change in soil organic carbon or stable aggregates over time. So we have two studies in Nebraska that weren't designed to be compared necessarily, but they were all running about 25 years, and they all had tillage components. So with the interest that Dr. Blanco had in long-term change, we sampled these soils once. And so on my site, we had three tillages, and at the other site there were two. They were both the same length of time. I had a rotation component, but Richard didn't, and then mine was rain-fed and his was irrigated, and we had several N rates. So we can't really say that these two experiments could be directly compared, but we did have a range of tillages, a range of water regimes, which would be typical of a lot of the Nebraska growing situation. I don't have a map of Nebraska, but the Clay Center operation is on the eastern side of the state, but more towards the middle. It's in a very heavily irrigated area, and the soils there are kind of typical of that production system. I'm in the northeast corner of Nebraska, which is near Iowa and South Dakota, and it's more hilly, and we have calcareous soils, although this was not one of them. But this study was put on the bottom land with fairly high and deep soil, so it's a very productive area. Here's a visual from the Clay Center site, and the highlighted area is where the study took place. It's a bigger study than what we sampled. In addition to the treatments there were other timing treatments of nitrogen and also use of nitrification inhibitor. But essentially, we just wanted to compare the nitrogen rates over the two tillages. And the chisel plow probably isn't a chisel plow. It's more of a just a twisted shank with a little bit of a disc afterwards. And that would have been disc in addition. The ridge till, got to remember this is back in 1986. Tillage systems were a little different. But for those of you who may not be familiar with ridge till, there's about a 4 to 5, 6 inch ridge in the middle, plant on top of the ridge, and then after at cultivation time, you go back with the implement to throw soil up on the ridge again, so you're building your ridge for the following year. So it's a reduced tillage compared to the chisel plow. So that was the two. One was a full tillage, the other was a moderate tillage. And all the N was put on with anhydrous, so you have the shanks going through there. So there's some tillage in all these plots. Up at Concord, my study, less rainfall. So some years we could get 180 bushels per acre. In 2012, during the drought, the plowed ground had 8 bushels. So we have a great variety of possibilities. We have 3 tillages there, the plow, the disc, and the no-till. The no-till is what I call true no-till, or very pure no-till. We just plant, no cultivation, nothing in the fall. So the only thing that's been in this field since 1985 in the tillage blocks, no tillage blocks, has been the planter. And so there's no inversion of the soil at all. We comparing 2 cropping systems, continuous corn, corn following soybeans, and even though there are 5 nitrogen rates at the study, we just sampled the 0, 80, 160 due to resource limitation. We sampled all the plots that fit the criteria I mentioned down to a meter, a little more intensively in the surface. We composited 2 5-centimeter cores in the spring of 2013. The main piece of the information I'll talk about today are the soil aggregation as measured by the mean weight diameter water-stable aggregates. These were all conducted in Dr. Blanco's lab using standard procedure. And up there you have the soaking time and cycles and the different sieves. And we also, we is kind of a generous we, Dr. Blanco and his lab ran the soil organic carbon. So to briefly go through the results, I'm just going to show a little bit of what's in the paper, and I'm going to talk about the clay center results first. And the two things that are most noticeable are that most of the action is here in the 10 to 25 centimeter for pH and mean weight diameter. And then for soil organic carbon, there really isn't much going on. If you want to look at that a little bit in more depth, there's no interaction. We didn't find any interaction of the N rate and tillage. So what you're looking at is the average of both the chisel plow and that ridge till. And most of the differences in the green here is the 0, no nitrogen. So this would have been no nitrogen on these soils since the mid-80s. So that's over 25 years. So it's a cumulative effect. And then as we increase nitrogen, we're decreasing the diameter. And notice there's not any significant differences down here below 40 centimeters or so. There was a little bit of N rate effect here right in the surface, and you can just see that the different tillages, there really wasn't much going on, except that at the 75 kilograms per hectare, there seemed to be a little bit of a tillage difference. I'm showing you the soil organic carbon information, but there really isn't any significant difference there. One would think maybe there would be some, but we didn't pick that up, although it looks, there are a couple places down here where there was a difference between the 0 and the 75. So over this period of time, we were not able to pick up differences at the clay center site. We did pick up a fair amount of pH differences. We all know that nitrogen will decrease our soil pH. We tend to think that's more of an issue where we're over-applying our nitrogen. But here I just put the average yield of corn over the last 10 years. And we haven't really, we don't know if we've plateaued at our nitrogen rate. So it would be hard for us to recommend nitrogen down here in this neck of the woods and give up this amount of yield. And then there was, I'm not going to go into in detail, but there were some correlations with the pH and some of these other parameters, which process may be interacting there. At Concord, I'm just going to show some of the data. There was actually a little bit more interaction between depth and tillage and the rotation. But in terms of the pH, this is the surface, 0 to 7.5. This is the 7.5 to 15. We had, as you'd expect, the nitrogen rate tended to decrease pH. And in the surface, this was true for both rotations, whereas in 3 to 6 inches, 7.5 to 15. The corn following soybeans, even though the trend was there, wasn't significant with our statistics. Now, the corn-soybean rotation gets half the total N over the period because we don't fertilize the soybean year. A closer look at, again, this is at Concord. This is the surface soil, looking at soil organic carbon. Really not any effect of N rate, but we do have the no-till and the disc doing having higher carbon than the plow. And that also holds true for the mean weight diameter of the aggregates, even though there isn't really a big N rate response, there is a tillage effect, and especially the no-till. So just a quick summary. We didn't increase our soil organic concentration very much. Our hypothesis was that we would do more. There were some changes in the subsoil at Concord, which I didn't show, but there wasn't major changes. And fertilization did affect soil aggregation and affected pH. In the near surface at Concord, we did increase aggregate stability for the continuous no-till more than anything else like that. And then below 7.5 centimeters, we actually did reduce the aggregate stability a little bit in the continuous corn. Looking at all this information together, the 80 kilograms per hectare or the 75 at the other site minimized some of these negative effects and was better in some cases than the zero. The acidification we need to control in the future. I really was kind of surprised when I looked at the pH effects at some of those higher end treatments because we hadn't been paying attention to that as close as we should have. Thank you.
Well, I didn't say they should be.
But don't quote. I mean, I know the microphone's on, but I just said higher than that, there was some differences showing up. I don't know, Humberto, you have a different opinion?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we apply more than 80 kg in per hectare, we see, you know, the reduction in aggregate stability. But it's, you know, this is statistically significant. I don't know if this is statistically significant, you know, on other parameters like yield. Obviously, we're keeping busy yield, right? So we need to monitor this more. And also, sometimes we see changes in soil properties, but we don't see the effect of the changes on yield. You know, so basically, looking at both the border, right, how, you know, changes in soil properties affect, you know, yield. So that's a good point.
So could you speculate on what you think that negative impact of higher nitrogen? limit on your aggregation?
Because of nitrogen releases, a lot of this, ammonia releases, hydrogen, then iron, so that tends to disperse soil aggregates. So that this is not the first study, and there are a few studies out there, and we kind of follow that, and we did conduct another study in Kansas, and we found there's a PPLO experiment, so that we kind of found similar trends, that the high rates of N application tend to reduce the with ammonia, fertilizers that produce hydrogen, like urea, ammonia, things like that. But one interesting thing, just quick thing, we didn't see differences, probably negative effects near the surface, 0 to 4 inches or so, but below, in the subsoil, that's where we see some changes or reduction in aggregate stability. Question back.
Well, and maybe this is coming from America, but are you, in follow-up study, are you going to look at the quality of the carbon compounds that may be affecting the affected area, and also diving the cations? How is that going to change as we go through that?
That's an excellent point. Yep. We haven't looked at that. That's the next step, looking at the live-wire carbon, and that's why I've got the drivers there, and we're going to look at more in detail, how that, the microbial biomass is affected, which in turn affects soil aggregation, things like that. So, yeah.
We're seeing calcium and magnesium move through the profile in our long-term studies of the Mandan. And I've often wondered if there's a physical thing going on. We haven't measured it. You're measuring, but we've measured all the chemical properties.
So. Yeah, I think we need to measure all the chemical. We don't have data.
Well, we have two posters tomorrow. They're up there now, but Fernando had a student from Brazil who did a fair amount of chemical measurements. He didn't get into magnesium or calcium, I don't think. And then there's another graduate student who sent the same data points to Ward Lab and ran some carbon burst, the Salvita test, and the Haney with some organic extractants. I don't know if it's, we haven't put it all together, and as Humberto said, Dr. Driver had took in some samples for some microbial work, but we haven't seen the results of that.